Hey folks, welcome to our latest episode of Clam from the Stands, and pleased to say we are back at full strength. Here we go. Good to see you all. How are we, Chris? Great to have you back, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm absolutely raring to get go to go, Ross. Raring to go.
Love it.
So
Nice,
yeah.
nice teal background there. I like it. They got a change of background as well,
I'm
Chris.
at a mum's house tonight, Ross. Staying at mum
Lovely.
tonight.
How's your
So
mom?
it's a different background, mate, so it's all good.
Good. Oh well. So you're not in Fife.
I'm in Paisley, mate. I'm
You
back
know
in
what?
.
Breaking news. Chris can speak freely, so you might get extra sassy, some extra hot takes here. He's not worried about the enemy listening in, so we're gonna get the real deal. He's back in
Or
Paisley.
my hand or my tires getting stabbed, that kind of
There you
thing.
go. Exactly. Well, listen, great to have you back, mate. Phil, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Filippo. Happy birthday to you. Hip hip, hooray. How was the
Dude,
birthday weekend, mate?
old are
It was
you now?
amazing. It was amazing. The big 5-0 for Phil. He turned 50, everyone. Big 5-0. He's looking good though, eh?
Yeah, ended up an Aran. That was my birthday surprise. So, get the train down to Trun. Gemma told me we were going to the bus station, dragging the cases for about 3 miles for the train station. I'm thinking we're going to the bus station. And as it turned out, it was a ferry over to Aran. So, yeah, get back the day. And I looked at myself in this camera, and it does look like I've had about 30 pints in the last 3 days. So,
God,
yeah.
I thought you were pregnant, mate. You're glowing. I think you're glowing.
Oh,
Honestly,
that's
I
just
think
the
you're glowing.
sweats, mate. That's the sweats for
That's what
the
it is. Well, whatever lighting you've got going on, it's working well, mate. It's working
drink.
well. Well, that's good. Colin, how are you, mate?
Yeah. Thanks. Apart from the weekend, but apart from that, yeah, I'm okay.
That's it. Okay, that's it. Colin, still not listening. There was a lot of what we know is this in our WhatsApp group. Colin is always great for an overreaction. That's what they say. Our job as fans is to our job is to get too high with the highs, too low with the lows. Colin is fantastic, fantastic value for a reaction when things certainly when things don't go well, but even when things do. But we're gonna get into that, aren't we, Colin? So that's why we're here. Yeah, thanks for all again. An avalanche of Twitter, and just I think what I like to see, just actually a lot of fans having conversations on the Twitter threads, which is really what it's all about. So love to see that, keep that going. We'll get to a lot of those questions and points made. So we appreciate the input that drives the conversation on the cast. But we're gonna have to start with the. It was a bad week. We've been so high, right? We were like. Do you know what? I remember last time I was thinking about this before it came on tonight. I was like, we were like, we'll take anyone. Give us Belfast, Sheffield, give us all of them. We'll beat them. You know what? They can take the best players from each of their teams. We'll pump them, right? We're the best team in the league. And then we're just like, oh, we forgot we're Clam fans. We forgot we're Clam fans, and here we are. So look, the big story of the weekend, I'm gonna start. Look, the ten to the Sheffield game, I don't Yeah, I we have to cover. We have to cover both, but I know it's hard to cover both games. The coaches and players' reaction to the first defeat. Obviously, there's no other reaction but that it was just utterly awful and unacceptable, and just a really bad night at
Sat
the office.
until the 60th minute. I watched all 10 of those goals from Sheffield go in, and it was horrendous.
Yeah, it wasn't good, right? So we had that. We had obviously the for the, again for those that didn't catch the games. We then the Panthers the night after at home. We a chance to rectify things where we got shut out. We got beat 3-0, and wasn't a great night. But again, the coach was very Nielsen was very I guess very complimentary of the team in terms of the response, in terms of the performance and the effort. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I will get to that later. But anyway, but it is what it is. So look. Phil, I'll come to you first just in case you fade, because you're obviously the most hungover out of all of us here, because you had a fantastic weekend celebrating your birthday, which is absolutely what you should be doing. Like, how do you like? So, I get look, the debate on Twitter is this, right? There's obviously we have fans now that are like, this is unacceptable. I know that there was booing and Mitchell Hurd had a what we'll come to that later, but it's unacceptable and they're feeling very deflated. And there's some of the fans that are just like, look, let's not get too low. Like, it's like, it was a bad weekend. It was one bad, really bad night. It can happen. we move on, right? Where are you on the where this leaves us, given the time? I think the timing in terms of we are right at the business end now. Yeah, what's your thoughts, Phil, on the weekend?
Well, obviously, losing 10 goals at home's not ideal, to put it mildly. I think I said, like, the last time we recorded, I was a week out with my prediction of the implosion that was coming up. Unfortunately, that came true. Thankfully, like, I was away at the weekend, I didn't see any of the games. But I just had the pleasure of watching it back, the goals tonight, before we came on. And some of the defending was diabolical, absolutely diabolical. But we did get a better response. I watched the highlights of just this weekend's games before we came on. And the Nottingham game, I mean, I know you were saying Corey was complimentary of the team, but from what I've seen in the highlights, we were certainly looked to have the better chances in the first two periods anyway. So just couldn't get it across the line. Murph needs to calm down with this goalie thing he's got for Greenfield and
Andy.
I honestly, man,
Grandy's awesome, by the way.
I don't care, Colin. It
I
is
don't care either.
unbelievable.
It's
I don't.
painful to listen to.
Dariana.
Anyway, with regards to the Sheffield game, you just wrap that up, throw it in the bin, and you forget about it. You just need to move on from that. They're chasing the title down, like Chris was just saying before we came on. We are in the playoffs now. I believe
Yes, we are.
we secured our place with a 0 point weekend.
Yeah.
So results obviously went our way. So we're in, but not very good for everybody that turned up on the nights.
Yeah. Colin, I mean you were there
Sadly.
in the flesh,
Yeah.
3D. What was your assessment of the performances, and then where are you sitting in terms of the fan base? Obviously, there's difference of opinions in terms of how we should be feeling after this weekend.
Well, I mean, there's one thing to say that the Sheffield game, every time they shot it went in, right? And I felt both keepers got hung out to dry a little bit. But the bit that kind of concerned me the most was the lack of bite back, the lack of tactical change, the lack of timeouts, the lack of a plan B. It was almost like, you know, back in the day, if we went 4-0 down, you would have sent the fourth line out to create havoc just to try and get the crowd on side, but there was nothing. There was nothing at all. And that was my biggest concern. The biggest concern for me was we just kept doing the same stuff over and over and expecting to get a different result. That was the bit that kind of concerned me the most, especially at this stage in the season. We had zero tactical change. We didn't really do much different. And from the players' perspective, there was zero fight. There was nothing. There wasn't even like a big hit laid. There was no attempt to get under their skin. Zero at all. Now, to be fair, Greenfield pulled off probably one of the best saves I think I've seen in a long time, right? And you can tell both by Greenfield and Grandy why they're up at the top. Both those guys give the team a chance to win every night. Now, Grandy, for me, from the inexperience he has before coming to this league, is phenomenal. The guy is 0.95% at the moment, and he's conceding 1.64 goals per average per game, right? That's unbelievable. So for me, the Sheffield game, as much as it's a throwaway in the bin type game, we didn't show any fight back, no tactical change, no nothing really. It was almost we just accepted it and just kept going. The Nottingham game, we had a lot more of the puck. We did look a lot better. We were a lot more aggressive. We were better on the forecheck. But again, realize that the reality comes back and bites you in the arse in a sense where we lack that bit of quality in front of net. We have done all year with one of the lowest scoring teams in the league. And that was the realization at that point where you could see it when you come up against a really good netminder. We had no answer for it, none whatsoever. And It was just frustrating. Like Panthers had like a lot less chances, but they were far more clinical in front of net. And yeah, I mean I think the result flattered them a little bit because 3-0, it wasn't a 3-0 game. But we were a lot better. There was a bit of reaction to the night before, but it was just one of those weekends where the two netminders that were in nets opposite were phenomenal in both games. Even when Greenfield had nothing, I don't mean nothing much to do, but there was one, I think it was Mitchell Hurd, who kind of nudged down to the back of the net, and he literally had an open goal, and he did everything right, and he actually chipped it high, and Greenfield caught it on the butt or the bladey stick as he
Yeah.
was diving. And I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, that was phenomenal. But like I said, the interviews, Ross, just to touch on them briefly, the first night, Corey came out and says, oh, it was my fault and it was their fault and everything else. But he never actually done anything to change anything. Like, you never seen him calling a timeout for nothing and going, right, guys, what we doing here? Blah, 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 nothing. We literally just went through the motions the whole game.
Well,
So,
was there a timeout taken?
no, not that I can remember. Against Sheffield, no. He did take one against Nottingham, which got they got the empty net goal literally from losing a face-off, but not against Sheffield. And the bit for me that was, as I said, the biggest concern I had was when things were going wrong, we didn't do anything to change it. We didn't combat it by doing X, Y, and Z. We didn't go out and try and be more aggressive. We didn't try and do anything differently. It just seemed to be every time Sheffield got the puck and shot, it went in. Like literally every time. I felt bad for Brian. He kind of got hung out to dry that night. Like,
Oh, the defending was to
it
what
was abysmal.
embarrassing. It
But
was like
even frustration from the player, the players didn't look as if they were getting frustrated. The only one that did look frustrated was Dupree. He kind of threw a big hit at one point. Like I'm saying a big hit, it was like a daft hit where he got a penalty against him. But he was the one that was getting more and more frustrated. You could see him getting annoyed. But like I said, it was the lack of buy-in, I think, is probably what I want to get to. But Nottingham, the game against Nottingham was far better. But it was just one of those games where Grandy's left glove is frighteningly fast. And like I said, the inexperience he's had since coming to this league, you would think he's came for playing NHL all the way down. He's not. He came for the NCAA, had two teams in the AHL where he played zero games, and then he went to, I think it was the Czech Republic or something like that, and he had an absolute shannery of season this year, and then he got over to Nottingham and he's been a gem. Like, he's a real find.
Chris, what's your view on the weekends?
Yeah, I think Ross, to be honest with you, it's kind of you're playing two teams that are going for the league. Yeah, they're in a dogfight. Yeah, and they're showing that the both of them are showing that they're better than us. You know, push come to shove. You know, if we're playing 100% and they're playing 100%, they're just better than us. Yeah, and that's a half reality. That doesn't mean to say if we meet them in the playoffs, we cannot beat them. However, it's clear the gulf in quality and indeed buy-in, as Colm was talking about. Yeah, you're kind of against two teams who are right on the money ultimately, and we just weren't at it.
Yeah, I think look, my assessment, I guess, is like the 10-2. I'm probably in the camp of like you say, if I'm like, it can happen. It's a really bad time for something, given the run we're on, and again, you start to and you feel that the players can believe it could beat anyone. These things can have they can be damaging, right, at the wrong time. So I do think that one is damaged. I think it was, I was at the Scotland game last night at Hampden. It was very similar in a way where you go. Some point tactics go out the window and your personal pride comes in, and I don't understand how players don't just like again, it just blows my mind, right? That players that there isn't some reaction that you see, and look, even if it means you get beat 12-2, but like at least somebody's trying to do so. I think just it baffles my mind. I think the biggest problem I have with the whole weekend is like see Nottingham, like I know that, see if I hear about like you for fucking goalies, like I swear to God, like I'm just sorry, look, I'm sorry, they're. Like maybe it's the fact that there's been just so many goalies that just have played. Like I watch a lot of hockey, right? I watch a lot of NHL hockey, and I'm not looking at these guys going, "Oh, like you said, look, to be fair, Colin, that one save, you go, wow, that was a great save. It's one save, right? How many shots do you have in a game?" So I think that really irks me because it's like, look,
Shots and high percentage shots.
There is calm, but it's like, but you know what? Guess what? Guess what? Your job is to solve for that. You've got to solve the
That's
goalie.
what I'm saying. You've got to beat the
Well,
keeper.
you got to do something. Like you say, you've got it. Like, and I think this is my issue with this whole narrative about. I feel every interview starts with they're an amazing hockey team. Their goalie's red hot. I'm like, well, what about like what we do? Like, but we believe we should be competing with these teams. So let's not talk about great. Let's talk about why we're not able to solve that. And the other thing that annoys me is like, I just can't get on board with that. You get hammered 10-2 at home, right? Hammered and embarrassed. It's embarrassing, right? And look, I've played, we've been hammered by a better team before. It's horrible, right?
I think this is the biggest defeat
But
outside Vaxxer we've had.
the reaction to that is to get blanked. But I'm sorry, I don't care. I know people, I know coaches say performance. I'm sorry, I'm not having that as a reaction at home to not score a goal and get blanked by honestly a Nottingham team that look, their goalie's good, but you know what? They're a very good defensive team. That's the story of Nottingham. I don't care what anyone tells me. I've seen them enough this year. Like, that's not like a goal I'm going, that guy is the best goal I've seen in this league. It's not. That is a team that are a little bit defense first to me. They are hard to beat. Like, they do not give up goals cheaply as a team, right? Which helps him. And I'm not saying he's not playing well. I'm just saying, you know, we did the opposite of that against Sheffield the night before. And look, the goals they scored, I know the two goals, again, avoidable goals for us. I don't know. I'm not thrilled with, like, because that to me is like, I feel like Nottingham didn't have to be brilliant and they bet us relatively comfortably, right? I thought it wasn't like I go, oh, we've absolutely, you know, they've stole one there. They've not stolen that game for me, right? There's games where you go, they've totally come in and nicked that game, they've stolen it. I don't think they stole that game. I thought that there was a, if that's the bounce back performance, I'm like, guys, it's business end of the season. What is there, 5 games to go? Four for some teams, five?
Two at home and then three away. Yeah, there's
Yeah,
five left
five.
and
Some teams
then
have, yeah, it's not all even, but you're going
no.
like, and you're trying to look, you're trying to chase down and go, can we get a better, you know, get a better seeding? I know, yeah, but
There's
we'll.
a wee side issue, Ross. You know, obviously there was a lot of Nottingham naysayers when it came to Danny Stewart as a coach and stuff. I think he's proved them all wrong. Sorry,
Well,
has, you know.
I mean, the other thing you're going again, if you're taking a look again, taking a step back here, you kind of go, you're getting out coached by somebody who's a rookie, relatively rookie coach that Coventry took a punt on, and he did all right with them, didn't do brilliant, and so it's
For a
like,
bit of money.
well, it's not that. To me, it's like, are you getting the most out of that? We talked about this, and then, you know, I think what was really interesting I saw in Corey's interview before things. Well, again, I do think that there is a, we are here to overreact. I'm less concerned than some of the fan base. I think I'm hoping this is just a bad weekend, and maybe it's a lesson and good timing to make sure that we're dialed in to show what, like, how badly wrong it can go when teams, because these teams, to your point, Chris, are very dialed in because there's a title to win. But I thought it was interesting what we saw. I think it was, okay, was it after it was a Storm game we lost away, right? I think it was that game, and he said, or maybe it was the game before that, he said it took us a bit of time to put all the information together, is what he said about the team. I remember we saw that interview, which I thought was interesting. It was almost an admittance that it's taken him and the coaching staff longer to figure out how to get the best out of this group of players, right? Which was kind of alluding to what triggered this kind of run of good form, where all of a sudden we looked like one of the best teams in the league. So it's just very disappointing to say to the coach feeling like we've got this figured out. I don't know what changed, but it was, the drop is concerning. I hope it's a good wake up call. I don't love the fact that we've got players arguing with the crowd, and you know, we'll cover that in a second. But you know, I don't think that's obviously not good. You want to be connected, you know, with the players.
Cole Uli, did you watch his interview? Cole Uli looked like a boss ball. Like he looked like he didn't want to get interviewed. Now, I looked up something. Cole Uli hasn't scored a single point in the past 4 games. None. Right? And he's our clutch guy. So he's a guy going to. So see now him and Sidorov, they both have the same amount of goals for the season. They're both on 25 for the year. So Sidorov has kind of stepped up in the last couple of weeks. But Uli had, I was kind of surprised when I thought I'd look through and see who'd scored. And because when watching some of the games, like there's been a couple of kind of high scoring games, but when you watch them, Uli hasn't scored a single point in the past 4 games, none at all. And I'm quite surprised at that, considering he's our go-to guy.
That doesn't surprise me that
These
much, really,
things can
because
happen. These things can happen.
he's
They really can.
he, like, the games that he was popping up with these goals at really crucial times. Like, I mean, obviously, me and Colin and spoke about it. Like, he was anonymous for the 59 minutes before it. You know what I mean? But
Even then, not scored, not
that's not to
even.
say I wouldn't have him in the team. Obviously, he's
No,
your
no.
guy,
It's just when
but
we're talking about there, when Ross was
he's
saying,
not
like,
the kind of guy that's in games.
no, but when you're going into the business end of the season, you expect these clutch guys to then step up a little bit more and get ready to rock and roll, because these guys are getting ready for this playoff mode. And essentially, yeah, that I maybe I'm over analyzing it, but it's when you're seeing little things like that, like. But guys like Schwartz, like he's been an unsung hero all year. Like Sidorov's actually stepped up a little bit. Like you can see that clearly. He's actually stepped up more since dropping down the lines than he has been when he was in a higher line. But when you watch it, like against Belfast, it was like a team of two solid defences, and whoever broke first was going to win it. And then you go from that, and it's total like night and day. And then you play Sheffield, and it's as if you just take that and throw it in the bin, and it's completely different. So, yeah, like I said, we can scratch it to a bad weekend, but there was elements for me to be concerned about,
You're
considering
right, Colin. You know,
we're at this time of the year.
from what I've seen, you know, the Belfast was complete discipline, you know, playoff intensity there, and you know, everybody knew their game. Everybody knew what they were supposed to do, and from then from that fantastic performance, and I think we deserved the win ultimately, to then play Sheffield the next week and put in that. Is flabbergasting, to be
And
perfectly honest. But yeah,
Sheffield
no.
have had our number all year. We've not beat Sheffield, I don't think, or not that I can remember. Nottingham we've managed to get points from, but Sheffield we have not beaten all year. And when they have scored, they're scoring like I think it was at 4 and 5 against us. So they are quite a free scoring team in general. But like I said, the big bit for me was having a bad weekend is one thing. Creating what I can, like, if somebody can prove me wrong, please like comment or say to whoever. But the only time I can see us shipping 10 goals was against Vaxcio Lakers in the Champions League. I cannot remember us taking 10, getting 10 taken off us at home by Emdy.
I
Now,
think
Vaxcio was
that guy's.
away, I get that, right? But 10
I don't think
goals
it
at
happened at home
home.
for sure. I don't think
The highest
it
was
happened at home, in my opinion.
eight against Sheffield. I'm sure that
I just
game.
can't remember 10 double digits at home against a team. And literally by the end of the game, a lot of people left by the end of the second period. There was a lot of people walking out that early. It was that bad. The only
Well,
reason I had
understandably, yeah.
stayed, say again.
Understandably, yeah, I'd say
Yeah.
understandable. Yeah, understand why people want to leave. And I think, look, the Sheffield team aren't the Sheffield team of last year either. I don't think, again, they're not. They're not as compelling. That Sheffield team of last year, you'd be going, they could take 10 off. You know, like they were a special team. They are where they are in the standings because they haven't been as good. And you know, we were. You know, you might expect that if they hit, they're in maybe a bit of an ascendancy now. You know, we were in more of an ascendancy than them, right? And net
Fear
result.
factor's gone.
Well, it's not fair. It's more. Like you say, it's just more that the manner, letting that get away. But again, what I'm hoping is, look, it's a bad weekend. It's maybe a way to refocus minds and just let the team remind them, look, we've got to. You know, I saw a comment on Twitter saying you start resting players and taking it because your position's ultimately. I'm not. It's not set yet, but it's like. Like you're in the playoffs now, and you're like, well, to be honest, the thing is this year, Belfast, Sheffield, Nottingham, it's like, in my opinion, it's much and such. Like, I honestly don't think there's an awful lot between the teams this year. They're all, and obviously you'd much prefer to get Cardiff. We're not going to get Cardiff, right? So you're going to get one of.
We've done well against Belfast though. We've beat Belfast more
I know,
than everybody else at the top.
but what I'm saying is that people start saying, well, is it, this idea of like, do you rest? And like, actually, it's the opposite. Like, to me, the problem is, to your point, Chris, these other teams are at playoff intensity now. And that's what you want to be at as a team, is you've got to find a way to say, we've got to start playing that way, because they come into that and they're rolling the way that they are. And we then, come into it going off the back of, oh, we've rested some guys, we're trying to get guys fresh and stuff like that and taking it easy. I think people don't underestimate how difficult it can be then to really dial
Yeah,
that up for those games.
I think Ross, it's evident, we were not ready mentally and physically
No.
for that weekend. It just went, but when you're looking at I think when you look at most of the season, Belfast have been on top, right? And in the last few weeks, Sheffield and Nottingham come into contention big time. And so they brought their A game. And unfortunately, we just were nowhere near the focus, the
Don't buy that
sharpness.
though. You're a professional athlete. You should be
Not
bought in and
quite.
physically tuned in all the time. I don't buy it. I'm sorry. You're getting paid to do your job, and you're getting paid to be a professional athlete.
Colin,
You have to be physically.
whereas a carrot dangled, i.e. a league title, you're going to be more tuned in than you are a team who knows they're going to qualify for the playoffs, and it's just a case of who they're going to play. That's life.
I simply think that's about the weekend. That's what happened at the weekend. Either that or they were all out in the sauce on the Friday night.
For
That's
you,
the only other
is that what they
explanation
were?
I can come up with.
Yeah,
But
but I
then
think
Aaron
the
Phil
coach,
just
aye,
the
let
coach
me,
has
aye,
to.
let me.
I like you, mate. But the coach to me, I think you're right, Chris. That's what that I was kind of, poking at there. But the coach to me, that's what I mean, is like you've got to me as a coach, you impress on the team. Look, like you, that's part of the preparation to say, look, they're going to come in here, absolutely playing playoff because this is do or die for them, and if we don't match that. We and again, the good thing is it's not like we've gone unbeaten all season to go. These guys know what it like. We've had some. It's been a bit of a up and down, a ropey start, right? This group. So, at the end of the day, they know and see. They're just it's that reminder, and I think
Yeah.
that's the coach's job to say, look, guys, there's not many games left. We need to be going into this and maintain that
Yeah.
form, keep that form into those playoffs. We cannot be taking our
The
foot off the gas.
good thing on these spankings last weekend, Ross, is the fact that these are the two teams you're likely to go up against in the playoffs, yeah? So there's the intensity that
Yep.
you need to be matching, if not better than than shall we say, if I can sort my words out. And so clearly the blueprint's right there. We get hammered, right? We get absolutely destroyed by Sheffield. And yes, Colin's probably right. 3-0 wasn't the result, but Nottingham still deserved to win. And with that in mind, that's what we're up against. So we're a team who's jockeying for position between maybe. Sixth and eighth, whatever it might be, whatever way you want to see, fifth and eighth, whatever it might be. And ultimately, but we know we're going to qualify for the playoffs. We all know, everyone knows that, really. Whereas Nottingham and Sheffield are teams that are actually bang on it. They're bringing their 100% A game every time. And that's what we need. We need to match that intensity, that quickness of thought. When it comes to the playoffs, because these are the guys that we're going to play against. We're going to play these guys.
Yeah, well, it's done now. It's done now. Listen, on the Mitchell Hurd thing, that was something that came up on Twitter. So again, I'm gonna say so many different conversations are going on. I can't call everyone out, but there was a lot of comments about the way that this debate about fans booing, and obviously Mitchell Hurd didn't have a he didn't take too kindly to that and had a bit of a pop back at the crowd against Sheffield. People felt he maybe was a bit still a bit of a hangover and a bit moody or whatever in the Nottingham game. I'm just representing what was said on Twitter. Yeah, I'm keen to. I don't know, like Phil, what's your view on the like the basic debate is this is like, do you think some people say, well, you shouldn't boo your team? They're your team. Don't boo them.
So, just I never seen the matches. What exactly happened?
So at the end of the game,
He was.
in fact, in between the periods, people were booing, right? And he could hear him saying to somebody about effing booing and blah
He was.
blah blah
Yeah,
and
he
whatever it
was
was.
swearing at the
Like,
crowd
yeah,
and
but.
a disapproving, saying basically he doesn't. Mitchell Hurd did not. Again, I don't know exactly the exact words. He would know the exact words he used, but. It was basically like he's like, you should not be booing, but he didn't
Right,
think that's what
don't
fans should be doing.
see be fair, right? Like being there, you cannot watch a game like that. Sorry, Phil. Basically, and then what do you want us to do? Clap you off? It was crap, like garbage. Now, if you're not going to play well, you can take the cheer and enjoy the adulation when people give you it. But see, if you don't play well, you need to take the good with the bad. So at the end of the day, if people aren't happy, they pay money, they're more than within their right to say, No, that was crap. And tell them it was crap. Because what do you watch? They let's clap them off, and then they come off thinking, oh, we've done quite a good job there, even though we get pumped 10-2. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, you're a professional sports person. If you can't take the criticism, you can't take the cheer. So you've got to take the good with the bad, just like we have to when you play well and when you don't. So live with it.
Phil, what do you think?
I agree, but like nobody's fell out with Mitchell Hurd. Like we know what he's like. This is just something that you need to suck up if you're going to have a unpredictable maverick like that in your team. Do you know what I mean? That's just the way he is. So I wasn't there. I didn't see it, but it doesn't change anything for him. I still want him back next year. He's a, I suppose maybe like he's a protector. His nature is to protect, so maybe that's playing a part in it. It's not really about himself, it's more about protecting his teammates from the abuse. So that's what gets his juices flowing. And at the end of the day, show me a sports like a professional athlete that plays in team sports that doesn't swear when they're doing their plying their
There's
trade.
that. I think it's just a factor that way where they were, I can't believe you're booing type stuff, and you're thinking, wait a minute, we've paid money to sit here and watch that. The least,
Well, but
like, people
Colin,
aren't allowed to.
their emotions are all over the place at this point
No,
as
again, I
well.
get that, right? And I'm not going to say that he's crap because he's done this, but at the end of the day, you cannot complain. If people want to boo, they can boo. It's just like saying to somebody, if you want to bring like a foam hand, or you want to bring somebody with somebody else's name in the back of your jersey, do what you want, right? But at the end of the day, you cannot like criticize people for being upset at watching that. I'm sorry, we pay for sport. What they got to do, like go to like Scotland last night when they were all booing and complaining because, oh, you can't boo all of us because we tried hard. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the day, if people are unhappy, you're clear to do it. And clearly it must have sent a
Absolutely.
message.
You're paying your money, Colin, at the end of the day, mate. And other guys aren't. And I think, as you rightly point out, Colin, there's the greatest fans in the world and stuff like that. I hate that shite, by the way, greatest fans and all that stuff at Scotland. Last night, booed resoundingly at half time. Against Greece last night. Mitch Hurd, as much as I love him as a player, he is a high maintenance kind of guy. I'm pretty sure he's high maintenance off the ice as he is on the ice. He's just that kind of guy who lives on his nerves. And yeah, listen, if you're paying £25 or more than that, or less than that, whatever it might be, Colin, and stuff like that, and you're just seeing your team getting pumped 4-0 at the end of the first and 7-2 or 7-1 at the end of the second, whatever it might have been, and you're not seeing basic organisation, then you are right to criticise your team.
Well, the
Absolutely.
coach looked bothered. Let's see, at the end of it, he even said in the interview he was worried about it. But at the end of the day, people, I mean, how many seasons have we been here? And there's been like we done like there was booing when Malcolm Cameron was there. There was booing when John Tripp was there. There was booing when like Zach Fitzgerald was there. That's what happens. You're in an emotive. You're in the west of Scotland, right? You at the end of the day, we're all bought into the clan. That's why we're there, right? We buy in. We emotionally get con into it because we get hyped up at the start of the year. We get hyped up with new signings. We get hyped up with a whole host of stuff. So see, when things are poor, we're going to let you know. That's just fact. Some people might not. Some people do. But see, if people do, I wouldn't criticise you if you don't, and I wouldn't criticise you if you do. You're more than within your right if you're unhappy to almost demonstrate it in a peaceful way to an extent where you're not like hurling objects or whatever else. You're just literally making a noise. It's no
Yeah.
different than cheering.
No, I think but the other alternative is you say, well, would you rather, can you just walk out and leave? Like, just leave. You know what I mean? It's like,
There
just.
wasn't a lot of people at the end of that game.
No, I know, I get that. I get the concept. Like, I do think, like, you want your fans to be a force for good for the team. And I get that. You want that connection. But I think that, like you say, Phil, you made the reality is like, it's emotions, right? You know, so I think that, you know, as much as Mitchell Hurd will say, well, I was emotional on it, and he's right, I don't have a problem with him. Like, do I think it's was the best thing for him to do? No, it wasn't, right? But I understand it. But it's the same way that fans are emotional, and you're kind of go, well, I'm giving up my Saturday night and or my Friday night or whatever it is, and you're going, well, you know what, this is just murder, right? You
No,
know,
nobody's in the wrong there, Ross.
I agree. I agree. I think it's almost a, with the result of that, what else do you expect? Like, it's like that. That's, I mean, literally, okay, maybe you'd say just leave, don't boo. I get the sentiment behind booing, right? I do get it, but I'm like, look, it's just like you say, Colin, it's like
Do
I,
because you care.
well, see, to be honest, I'm just going, I'm like, you know, like they need to know, like, well, you know, this is not, like, this is not good enough, right? This is not acceptable. It's the level of.
When you're paying 25 quid a skull to actually watch a game of hockey, right? And you're seeing your team losing 10 goals at home, you're entitled to bloody boo, right? That's that is it. You know, if you went into your job, Ross, on a daily basis, and you get whacked by the competition, whatever it might have been, you know, whatever levels of work you've got and stuff like that, if you get absolutely hung out by the opposition, then you're entitled to criticism. And that's life, yeah. I'm sorry, that is life. You cannot be happy clapping your way through the world. It'll get you nowhere, yeah.
No, I don't disagree. I don't disagree. I think that's the it's a great point, Chris. I think it's what we're all saying. It's the nature of the beast, right? And like you said, Colin, it's like, look, it's you get all the plaudits and things are great and you're diving about the ice and things are wonderful. I think, yeah, I would just prefer, you know, Hurd again. I think that's one of those things as a player, when that's what you're putting on and everyone saw the performance, that like you go, I don't think
I
you've got a
mean,
leg to stand on barking back at people. You're kind of going like,
I booed.
almost out of going, guys, sorry.
I did stay. I stayed because there was somebody with me who hadn't been to hockey before, and I did boo because I was really pissed off. But at the end of the day, I'm the first guy that will stand up and get excited when there's a fight. I'm also the first guy to jump up when there's a goal. So at the end of the day, I was raging at how poor we were. Absolutely raging. So when you talk about overreaction, Ross. Yeah, I probably do overreact. Why? Because I get emotionally wrapped into it.
Well, Colin, how much your season ticket cost you this year?
Don't know, 500 quid or something like
500, right? So you lose 10 goals at home, and you're not entitled to show a bit of emotion, negative
No,
emotion.
yeah, that or a refund would be nice in that game, but
Well,
no, I
yeah,
don't think we'll get one of them.
that's
So
it, exactly. Yeah,
exactly,
there you
Colin.
go.
And there's the point right there. Listen, guys, you know, when you're a pro sports athlete, you take the highs of the highs, but you know, at the same time, if you're going to turn out a shit show, then you need to take the abuse that comes with it, and that's a fact.
Yeah, I don't think it's
See
abuse.
with that, right? The fact that Hurd's like reacting to the crowd, that just shows you he's angry as well. So see if he would just went off with his head down and said nothing, I think that's maybe a bit more concerning. Obviously, other players like would react differently and still be concerned, but wee Mitchie boy's just letting everybody know that he's not happy about it.
Well, do
So
you know what? See, I don't know that that's true. The reason I say that, Phil, is, well, I remember what he did last time, and I think there's a couple of people in this podcast criticizing for it. I think I stood up for him. I was at the Coventry game, and we got a doing. I was there with my kids, and big Hurd, just, I know he's criticized, he just went and battered a couple of guys. And just, you know, and I'm like, that to me was like, I love that, because I'm
got to
like,
take him. You've got to take him when
no,
he's. That's a different thing altogether
well,
because
no, well,
he's
it's
getting
not.
penalised. He's getting penalised during the game, which is costing us.
No, but that's the, but what I mean, Phil, is he did that. Everyone knew at that point he did that, because it was like, A, it was that to me is how, that's why I think it's great about hockey. You have that opportunity to go, well, do you know what? We're getting pumped. I can give the crowd something here, and I can let these guys know, and I can let everyone know I'm not happy.
He's not doing it.
That. Well, look, he didn't do it. Look, you did a dance button, and he kind of forced the issue that night. He's probably been told by his coach. I'm sure Cody Nielsen didn't love that either. But my point is, I think you are right, Phil, in a way that he's like, I'd rather a guy that cares. I don't mind. I just don't think fans need to, as much as, look, it's not like abuse. The fans aren't pure
They're
shouting about. It's like,
snowflakes,
you know,
mate.
yeah,
Fans are snowflakes.
exactly. And that's it. And look, so I think it's like, look, it is what it is. He's obviously, he knows. Like, I think the thing is, he knows. And you know, he knows as well. Look, it's not helpful, right? That's probably his point. As much as you want to boot, it's really not helpful in that moment, because of things are going against us, and we're not out here doing what we should be doing, and we need to try and turn it around. But I think it, like you say, it's to me, this is much to do about nothing. I don't think fans should be getting too upset about it. I think it look it's look he's been fantastic this year. I've been, you know, one of his biggest supporters, even when he's had his moments of ill discipline. I think he's worth the edge that comes with him, and this is another side to that edge, right, where he's maybe not just going to, you know, skate off and just take that line down, and he's going to tell the fans what he thinks. So yeah, I'm okay with it.
He's getting more edges than a freaking octagon, that guy.
He does. He's a character. We knew that coming in. But anyway, let's just, we're going to wrap shortly. So let's look ahead. Look, you know, we like to always try and finish these podcasts looking ahead, regardless of whether what's going on, whether it's good, bad, ugly, or, you know, whatever. There's 5 games to go. There's a title race heating up at the top. Belfast do play Fife twice. I think that's their next 2 games, by the way, which...
Tottenham twice too.
I know, but the fight, yeah, you think the Fife, the 2 Fife, if they go the way that they should go, kind of, you're looking going, it might be a stretch too far. Whereas Sheffield may be the ones that could pounce, I would say, more than Nottingham with the looks of things. But we'll see.
Belfast will win both of those games, guys.
What's that? Belfast will win them.
Belfast will win both of those games for sure.
Yeah, that and then if they do that, it looks like it's 3 games to go, and that they'll have I think it would be a
so they'll get Dundee, Fife, Cardiff, and Coventry.
Who?
Sheffield. That's a run in for them.
Yeah, they could win all those games.
Nottingham, who do they have? Nottingham have.
Then the other, they'll see the same thing.
No, Nottingham have Manchester, Guildford, and Belfast twice.
Yeah. And Belfast have got Fife twice. I think they've got
Nottingham twice.
And is it Dundee or Guildford? I think
they're. Oh, it is Fife twice, Manchester, and Manchester. Nottingham twice.
Yeah. So they've
got Fife, Manchester, Nottingham.
Yeah, Belfast will win it.
That's my prediction, Chris, based on those fixtures, that they'll win 3 and they'll not need to win.
4 at home, 1 away.
Oh, Belfast will win it.
So
Belfast will definitely win it.
And then the last game's away at Nottingham.
Yeah. So with that, well, look, again, we'll see what happens. But looking from a clan perspective, and look, by the way, it is great to see that there's a genuine, you know, fight for the title, even though it looks like Belfast are in top spot or in prime position to win it. It's great to see 3 teams that are challenged. Obviously, Cardiff have fallen away quite badly. But looking at if you look at the clan's position right now, I think today we would be getting the Steelers, I believe, if the the playoffs were today. But we're going to get Nottingham or Sheffield. And unless if we assume Belfast win the league, it's going to be one of those 2 teams. Again, it could be in theory any of those 3 teams. I think Belfast, they could drop to second, but it seems more likely with those 2 5 games that it could be Nottingham or Sheffield. But let's include Belfast in the mix. Colin, you said you'd fancy Belfast. You think we've matched up quite well against them. You'd take them out if you had a choice. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, yeah, but I mean, when you come to these playoff games, when that's a different kettle of fish, isn't it? I mean, look at Nottingham. We'd beaten Nottingham away this year, but then when that mattered, they took 5 off us at home. So, yeah, I mean, of the top 3, statistically, we've taken more off Belfast this year than the other 2. Sheffield, we haven't cracked that egg at all. So if I was to pick one of the 3, it would probably be Belfast. Just statistically this year, I think we've matched up well against them at home. Okay, they've beaten us away, but again, we've had better performances and better results against them. I think we just match up well against them.
Okay, Chris, any preference for you?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's pie in the sky stuff in terms of who we could get, and there's a realization stuff, and the fact about it is we won't be getting Belfast. We won't play Belfast. So I would love to be playing Belfast, but it won't be. Yeah. So worst case scenario, we'll play Sheffield. Best case scenario, play Nottingham.
Okay.
Yeah.
Phil.
All right. That's keeping it real.
I like that. That's why you're here, Phil.
Yeah. So if we finish 7th, we get 2nd. I think it'll be Sheffield. I'm all happy about it. I'm being honest, that's the one I'd least like to face out the top 4 of them. But that's the price you pay of not taking care of business. So we're going to get Sheffield. And see, the thing is, like, against the others, especially because of that doing we just took off them, but it'll be easier. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it'll be easier for the belief to leave us quicker against them if we were to go behind.
Yeah,
Do you know what I mean? Like,
I know what you
as
mean.
opposed to if
Scar
it was
tissue. Yeah.
Nottingham or Belfast, I think the belief would stay with us longer.
Well, but I
And
give
do you
a
know
little
what,
bit.
Ross? Like, see, like, in years gone by when we've been getting pumped and we've never expected anything, this is one of the times when we are going to make it, like, against all odds. That
Well,
is that in true
mate,
Scottish
I think
fashion.
if you look back, Philip. I think the year that Clan qualified for that, obviously we all know that Clan have the most disgusting record of any team in the EIHL of getting to the playoff weekend. It's deplorable. It's beyond abysmal, right? Beyond abysmal, right? It's just pathetic, right? Like one playoff visit in 15 years, I think it is. It's disgusting. Right, absolutely deplorable.
Go
Right.
back, Chris. Just let it all out.
However,
The time we did get there.
the year that we did make it, Phil, I'm pretty sure
Remember it? I remember it well.
it was something similar. We were playing Nottingham in the playoffs, and they had our number all year. And they were doing there and destroyed them in the playoff, and then destroyed them again at home. So it's possible. They were too big for us. They were too this. They were too that. And actually, Ash Goldie and stuff like that just absolutely tore Nottingham a new arsehole that year. And Nottingham, of course, were the team who were the playoff team, weren't they? They'd won that competition year in, year out for so many years,
Who's our
and
coach?
we absolutely destroyed them.
Who's our
Sorry, Phil.
coach?
Yeah, he was our coach. That's
There you
right.
go. There you
Very
go.
interesting, Colin. Very interesting.
Well,
But
listen,
then
here's.
you could see then, Colin, who was our coach in terms of who knows how to play a playoff series.
Well,
You know
there
what I
you go.
mean?
Well, look, here's a couple of points I would make as well. So just to maybe change the people's thought process a little bit on this. A couple of things maybe people are forgetting. One, I would say Sheffield's four games, I expect them to win those four games. I do. Which will put them on 79, I think, points. Belfast would then need, well, they would need, yeah, 8 points to beat them out of their remaining five games. So I expect them to get six. I do expect them to beat five twice in Manchester. Nottingham double header.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's not a gimme. And I, and
It's
I, and,
not.
and look, you could be in a situation where last game of the season, Nottingham have to decide if we beat this lot, we hand the title to Sheffield.
That's
And
a
if
real.
not, right. So there you go. So there's a little bit of spice that I don't think is. I know what you're saying, Chris. Belfast, it's theirs to lose for sure. But I do expect Sheffield to win all those games. I think that could be tasty. So that means you could end up maybe not having Sheffield. The other bit that everyone's forgetting is who is Clan's next game against? Does anyone know?
Ilford. Ilford.
Ilford. If we beat them,
Cheltenham.
we go level with them with a game less played.
Are we not betting head to head, so we go
Yeah,
above them?
these are all ifs and buts, mate.
No,
There's
but
no
wait till
guarantee we're going to
go
beat
back game.
them.
No, we go level with a game in hand.
Chris, you're talking like Belfast already won the league, mates. You can't talk about ifs and buts, big man, right? I'm
No
saying
one's won anything yet.
reality is if we beat Guildford, we go level with them with a game in hand. So we can finish sixth. If we finish sixth, then
Play
we won't
Nottingham.
have to worry about Sheffield or we get not. And I would take Nottingham of those three. The reason I would do it is because I think, generally speaking, the games are tighter and I would fancy our chances there. I wouldn't, Belfast, you're right, they have matched up well against them. Sheffield, the one, like you say, I would like avoid. So listen, it's in our hands to finish sixth.
Yeah. What's the games at the weekend, Ross?
So, games this weekend, the next.
For
Well,
us, I mean, for us.
for us, so we've got Guildford, which is, I think that's midweek, because
Wednesday,
Wednesday,
Wednesday.
Wednesday night. Then we have
Cardiff.
away to Coventry.
No, Cardiff, then Coventry, then
Oh, sorry,
Dundee at
yes, away to
home.
Cardiff, away to Coventry. Oh, not good, is it? Yeah,
So there's nothing this weekend, and then it's next weekend.
and we play Guildford again, by the way.
Yeah, away, last game of the
Yeah,
year.
so we play Guildford twice. So we've
That
got.
could be some night, by the way.
Could be. So the point is, look, I don't love the. I mean, look, Cardiff aren't the team. They're not in great form. Coventry are, I think, a little bit hot and cold. There you go, Chris. Exactly, a bit of spice. But yeah, but look. So the point is, it's like the good thing is the league. Look, outside of Fife, it's relatively exciting. Look, Dundee, I think, and Manchester, I don't think are. I'm just looking at Dundee. Manchester four behind Dundee, four to play. Ugh, it's doable, but they'd have to go in a tilt. They've been in decent form, Manchester, but it looks like they might just miss out. But look, I would take Nottingham Panthers all day long. I think I would say we've got a chance. If
We
we're
just
at,
need to win the games in front of us and worry about everything later on.
let's see. Listen, I think getting sixth is the is we, that's what we've got to aim for. We've got to try and say we've got to, you know, we've got it in our hands. We play Guildford twice. We're 2 points behind them with a game in hand. Let's go for
Yeah.
it.
I
Got to
mean,
be at it though. Like you say, Chris.
if we could pick one, it'd be Nottingham, wouldn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah,
I
and
mean,
see, honest,
I
Chris.
know a match really against Belfast, but you know, if you get in behind that Nottingham defence, and we got a chance.
I agree. And like you said, Chris, what Cody's got to focus on now in the boys is it's got to be playoff mentality. Look, you can go and get sixth. That's what we're playing for. It's like you don't want to end up getting the bad draw, right? You want to go and, like, say, we got the best position because look, you don't know where the chips might fall about the top three, right? There's maybe ifs and buts up there, but you don't want to go like, we don't want to have a team that's in the ascendancy that's just secured the league title. So let's make sure that we end up, you know, where we, you know, we can be. We finish strong. We finish sixth. That'll be a pretty strong finish. Yeah, because we're unfortunately we're not going to be able to catch Coventry. I don't think it looks like a little bit of a yeah. We just let them just get away from us a little bit too much.
These final five games that we've got, I just want that form back that
That's
we've
it.
got,
That's
and
it.
then the results will come with that anyway. If we recapture that form, we'll get the points, or we'll get a whack of points.
Yeah.
But I want us to go into the playoff tie like feeling really good about
Aye.
ourselves. For obvious reasons. I think
Aye. Rather than your
that's
goalie picking out 10 goals, yeah, picking
yeah.
the puck out 10 times, it's not. You want your
I
goalie.
think that's very important
Yeah, I agree,
for
mate.
us coming into it.
Good. Well, listen, it's been great. We have another incident. Finally, I know we've been a bit, it's taken a bit of time with whatnot, but we've finally got, I know we promised people we're going to have to look back and make sure we've got the names, but we do finally have the new logo, Clan from the Stands mugs. Look at that, the kind of the lights reflecting on it, but there we go. So we do have those for the people that we picked out some of the best comments.
Beautiful.
We're gonna do some internal checking of the records, and we'll get in touch with those folks and make sure that we get a mug out to you as a thank you for your contribution. So finally got it done there. So there you go.
We
Better
always
late than
thought the
never.
column. We always thought the column was the biggest mug on the
There we
podcast, but you
go.
know what? We've just seen a bigger one
Man,
right there, mate.
pot kettle, you're banger. Who are you
There
talking about?
you go. Right. Okay. Well, listen. As always, boys, it's a pleasure, never a chore. Yeah, and big five games coming up where we say I'm of the mind. It's a blip. It's a reminder. Time to get back to work, boys. That's what it is.
Playoffs are upon us, boys. Playoffs are upon us.
That's it. But anyway, listen, thanks to everyone for all the Twitter comments and questions. Again, try to just kind of hopefully we covered everything. If not, let us know and we'll reply on Twitter. And as always, Phil will get this uploaded to Facebook as well. If you want to do the visual, if you're a visual listener, then we will cater for you there. But as we always finish with, big push at the end of the season. Mitch, we're with you. Don't worry, big man. We're with you, right? We're still there. Let's see it on the ice. Do your talking with those hands of yours, big man, or those fists. And on the climb.